Today, my dear faithful, is the first Sunday of Advent. And the epistle is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 13. Brethren, knowing the time that it is now the hour for us to rise from sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is past, and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and impurities, not in contention and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 21. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, by reason of the confusion of the roaring of the sea and of the waves, men withering away for fear and expectation of what shall come upon the whole world. For the powers of heaven shall be moved, and then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great power and majesty. But when these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is at hand." And he spoke to them a similitude. "See the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth their fruit, you know that summer is nigh. So you also, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is at hand. Amen, I say to you, this generation shall not pass away till all things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Now is the hour for us to rise from sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we believed. Words taken from the epistle of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today's Gospel, my dear faithful, as with last Sunday's, contains a truly frightening prophecy. The end of the world, the end of all lives on this earth. But just over 10 years ago, many thought that this was exactly what was about to take place. You see, a Protestant preacher, Harold Camping, had determined that the Bible clearly says when the world will end. And he had, as he put it, an infallible proof. First, Mr. Camping searched through sacred scripture and found three numbers that he called important biblical numbers. The first number was 5, which he said represents atonement. The reasoning he gave is that the Jews used a half shekel for atonement. A shekel was a Jewish coin, and a half shekel was another coin worth half as much, much like the old American half-dollar coin. A half shekel is 0.5 of a shekel, and so 5 means atonement, according to Mr. Camping. Then there's the number 17, which Mr. Camping said represents heaven. For this number, God had commanded a prophet to buy a field for 17 shekels as a promise that the Jews would return to Jerusalem. Jerusalem in sacred scripture commonly represents heaven, and 17 coins were the price of heaven. And the third and last biblical number Mr. Camping used is the number 10, which he said refers to completeness. So Harold Camping took these biblical numbers, as he called them, 5, 10, and 17, And then he made up an equation with them and arrived at the number 722,500. He then declared that May 21st, 2011 is the 722,500th day from the day our Lord died on the cross. Therefore, as this infallible proof tells us, that is when the world will end. To summarize, this poor man picked random numbers, multiplied and added them together, and thought he discovered the date for the end of the world. Mr. Camping had so much faith in his prophecy, he began to warn the people in his church, and then to warn people over the radio, through billboards and advertisements. So fervent and certain was Mr. Camping that many embraced this prophecy. They poured out donations to spread the word so that more will be converted and save their souls. Some were so convinced they emptied even their retirement funds completely. Others sold their houses, and still more took out large loans. Mr. Camping and his organization, Family Radio, took in the donations and they immediately used it for more ads. $100 million was their final total spent by the time May 21st, 2011 arrived and passed. On that day, while the whole world was either mocking Camping or outraged at having been duped, Mr. Camping remained at home in silence. After some time, he made a public appearance. He declared that he was still right, that God had counted the number of just on May 21st. October 21st, that's when the world will end, he said. But of course, nothing happened. His infallible proof had failed. After some more time of silence, Mr. Camping confessed he was wrong and that it was wrong to try to predict the end of the world because, as our Lord himself warned us in the 24th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, of that day or hour no man knoweth. Now, my dear faithful, how did so many people fall for this absurd conjecture? As with most things, there were multiple factors. First, they were Protestants. They were not members of the true church and did not have the Catholic Church to guide them. Then pride and belief in the false principle that by the Bible alone one is saved. Isn't it interesting that the very book that many of Dr. Camping and his followers held to be the only source of divine revelation actually states in regard to the end of the world, as I just quoted before, the words of Christ himself, that the day on which the world will end is not revealed. And furthermore, no one knows with any certainty when it will come to pass. By these words, our Savior makes it clear that the last day is a secret known to God alone. How truly proud and arrogant then to actually believe that one can figure it out exactly what God had not revealed. But when these people believed the world was about to end, how hard they worked to prepare for it. These poor people poured out their wealth and possessions. They tried to spread the word through advertisements, in order to save souls. In their misguided zeal, some gave everything away in order to be ready for the coming of Christ. Yes, they were wrong. They were duped. And they made Christianity look foolish because of it. Nevertheless, they sought to prepare for the coming of Christ. Today's gospel, like last week's, tells us that the world will end someday, and Christ will return to judge the living and the dead. This is certainly going to happen, and we must be prepared for it. St. Paul tells us in today's epistle how to prepare. He says to walk honestly in virtue, and then he lists vices to avoid. Finally, he summarizes it all with the command, "Put ye on Christ." Christian, my dear faithful, is what we call ourselves. It means we are followers of Christ. But how well do we follow Christ? Put ye on Christ means live the life of Christ. Practice his virtues. Avoid sin. Embrace your crosses. And do this now, for our salvation is near at hand than we believed. In other words, we each have a limited time on earth. At the divinely appointed time, we will each face the end of our world, that is, our death. At that moment, will we be at peace, knowing we have striven to love our God? Or will we tremble in terror with the knowledge of our past, as it fills us with dread of the judgment to come? St. Paul in today's epistle is thus telling us, make the most of the time God has given you. Only one thing matters, that we save our souls. Are we using the time given to us, or are we wasting it? The souls who have gone before us would give anything to have one more moment of life. The blessed in heaven wish they could pray even one more Hail Mary. Give just that little bit extra glory to God. The poor souls suffer patiently, but how they long to have paid for their sins during life. And the damned, what thousands of years of torment would they not bear gladly for 1 minute, for 1 moment of life, to make a perfect act of contrition. Every moment of our lives, my dear faithful, is so precious. But we have them for literally 1 second, and then they are gone the next. I encourage you then, my dear faithful, to make use of the season of Advent, to start anew in preparing for the coming of Christ. Let us prove ourselves true followers of Christ by denying ourselves, by avoiding sin and their near occasions, by making firm resolutions to practice virtue. Make some resolution, some decision for Advent, to give up or to do something in particular for our Lord. And when you find it difficult to carry this resolution out, do not count the cost. Consider how those non-Catholic people really believed that Christ was coming on May 21st, 2011. How much they sacrificed, how much they worked and gave of themselves on account of a false interpretation of the Bible by a charlatan. How we should, on the other hand, sacrifice and work hard at our salvation. Persevere, my dear faithful, in striving to love God more than anyone and anything in your life. Live your lives in the state of grace. Patiently bear your crosses. Always forgive others from your hearts. Be pure and be chaste. And pray the rosary every day, honoring Our Lady and obtaining her protection. Persevere in doing these things, and when your life ends, whenever that will be, what peace you will have. When our Savior is there as your judge, with what love he will look upon you as he tells you, "Come ye blessed of my Father, possess you the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.